Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. This is Dan Holm, the publisher for Ankeny Fanatic, and we're back after a two-week break. As always, the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast is sponsored by the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Today, we're going to talk to a couple of the agents for Iowa Realty who specialize in commercial real estate. And first, we have Dave Knutson here. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing good. Well, who is Ankeny Iowa Realty Commercial, and when did it start?
Well, Ankeny Iowa Realty Commercial started about 20 years ago when my father moved from Humboldt, and he ran his own real estate office up there for about 40 years. And he moved down here to be closer to grandkids and was maybe going to retire, and he had the itch to get back in the business, and so he came to Iowa Realty here in Ankeny and started selling land again, and one thing led to another, and the commercial business was started with some commercial properties too. And then about 15 years ago, I joined him here. I was leaving the investment business and started working with Dad again. I'd worked with him back in the mid-70s to the mid-80s, and so we've been here ever since. And Dave Mercer, who is my brother-in-law, married to my sister, he joined us about 10 or 12 years ago. So it's my dad, myself, and my brother-in-law, and that's kind of how Iowa Realty Commercial got started here in the Ankeny office.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll be talking to your brother-in-law here in a little bit as well. Now, what kinds of commercial property do you sell, and what locations? Just Ankeny?
We pretty much sell in the state of Iowa and the adjoining states. We sell apartment projects, commercial projects, office, warehouse, retail strips, and that sort of thing. Dad still does a lot of land sales and do some development land sales also.
All right. Now, can anyone buy commercial property as an investment?
I would think anybody who had interest in commercial property and was financially able to buy it would certainly look at that as a form of investment.
Now, how do you work with clients to identify their investment needs?
I think the thing that we do, and I'm sure everyone else does too, but we really try to get to know our clients. Most of our clients are long-term clients. We've been involved with them for many years, and we tend to specialize with investor type of clients. And just over the years, Dad's been in the business for 62 or 63 years, and I've been with him for about 28 years, and a lot of old-time clients, and we just get to know them as family, to be honest about it, and try to work with their investment needs on the commercial side.
All right. Now, why should someone invest in commercial property? Is there a good potential there to make some money?
Well, we work with investors that are looking for a rate of return, and you know, in the recent years, the rate of return in the banks as far as savings and CD accounts and that sort of thing has been quite low, and so a lot of investors will, you know, invest in other things, stocks, bonds, and that sort of thing, but use commercial property as a way to diversify into other income-producing property.
Now, does this go for farm ground as well?
It does. The return on land is not as great as typical commercial property. However, the farmland is kind of a specialized buyer. You know, people really like to own land and are willing to take a little lesser return to, you know, to own part of Iowa farmland.
All right, Dave, well, I think I learned some things today. Thanks for coming in.
Very good. Thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right, well, we have a very special guest who came in here today. She is one of Ankeny's all-time greatest basketball players. She went on to enjoy a tremendous collegiate career at Oklahoma. Of course, I'm talking about Maddie Manning. Maddie, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
You bet. Well, how's your summer going?
My summer's going awesome. This is my first summer just spending time at home and spending time with family. I've had to be back at Oklahoma every summer since I've left, so I'm really just enjoying time and, you know, seeing people around that I haven't seen since high school.
I'll bet. Well, now, the last I knew, you were weighing your options, whether to turn pro or to pursue a coaching career. You know, have you decided which route you want to go there?
Yeah, I'm actually going to continue playing. You know, I decided when I put down the basketball for a couple weeks after college, and then you know, when I picked it back up, I just still love the game so much, and I think there's still room to grow. So I'm going to go continue to play professionally overseas.
And do you have anything in the works as far as a contract?
Yeah, I'm actually in the works with a contract with Switzerland, the top league in Switzerland. Nothing's set in stone yet, but that's where I'm leaning towards anyways.
Oh, okay. Now, did you talk to any WNBA teams, you know, before the draft? I seem like I saw your name mentioned somewhere with the Oklahoma kids or whatever. You know, did you think there was any chance you might get drafted?
I talked to them. I actually had a private workout with a couple teams. Chicago's really interested. They're still really interested. The biggest thing was that honestly, completely honestly, I stayed in college for 6 years. And they didn't know why, they didn't know the reason. So when you get to that level, they're going to pick the young bucks over the old bucks. It's the same thing in the NBA. So I just need to go do take care of my job in Switzerland, put up good numbers, have a full healthy year, and I think I'll have an opportunity to showcase my abilities at that level.
So yeah, it's kind of like you said with the NBA, where they draft the young kids, and they draft you more for potential than experience, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about your college career, let's go back to your high school days a little bit at Ankeny. You were Iowa's Gatorade Player of the Year as a senior after you led Ankeny to a runner-up finish in Class 4A. Now, your team lost to Iowa City West in overtime in that championship game back in 2012. How often do you go back and think about that game?
A lot more than I should or probably, but... you know, more so it's just about thinking, going back and thinking about how basketball was in high school and how it was so free. You know, you name those things that I did, and I just felt like a normal kid out there playing basketball. It was never anything more than that. So while I'm still bitter about the loss, the overtime loss as a state champion in the state championship, you know, it's more about that and finding that feeling again playing basketball.
Well, I had to look up some of these facts. I don't remember all of them, but you were named the Class 4A All-Tournament captain as well as the state tournament MVP, which is kind of unusual for a player who's from the losing team. But I'm sure you'd trade all those awards for a title, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Me and Coach Young talk about it all the time. Those awards didn't mean anything. You know, I'm a complete team player, and winning is everything when it comes to me. I love winning so much, and you know, I don't care if I don't score a point as long as our team wins.
Now, you probably remember more of the details from that game than I do. I know you guys were down by like 5 at half, but you came back and you actually were in a position to win at one point, were you?
Yes. We actually had the ball at the last, or going down for the last second shot, and I got called for a carry.
You never carried the ball.
Yeah. We won't go into what it was or not, but I've watched a lot of film, we'll say. So.
Now, of course, you joined Ankeny's varsity team as a freshman along with a couple of your other classmates there. What was that like to play for Coach DeYoung at such a young age? Was he kind of intimidating a little bit?
He's probably going to – I hope he never hears this, but no, he's not intimidating at all. It was awesome. I've actually known DeYoung for a long time because I grew up going to all their camps, and, you know, he came to our practices, and we had that same group for my whole life up until college. So just being able to all of us start – at the high school level together and go straight from our AAU team to our high school team was really something special, I think.
Now, when you guys were in high school, you guys often practiced against like a team of boys, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, what was that like?
That was fun. I mean, I would rather, I love being in a gym with boys. I just love the competition level. I think a lot of times that gets lost if you get a group of girls around, which is something that I'm working on this summer. I've been working out with a lot of high school and upcoming stars, and you know, just working on that and saying, you know, you don't have to be cool all the time. It's okay to go in this gym and compete and, you know, be vulnerable in that area. So you get that a lot when you play with boys. You always try to one-up each other. And, you know, I have 4 older brothers, so that's what I'm used to.
I was just going to say, you're used to it because growing up with those 4 brothers, I'm sure they picked on you and beat up on you all the time, didn't they?
Right. They treated me just as another brother.
Well, you went on to have a great high school career at Ankeny. Of course, you also starred in volleyball and track. How much do you think, you know, it helped you to be a multi-sport athlete?
Oh, my gosh. That's, like, the biggest thing. And when I talk to kids, that's what I tell them. You don't have to choose a sport. You know, you're going to become an all-around athlete if you do those other sports because you're going to learn to move in different ways. Basketball had always been my goal, and that's where I wanted to go to college. But it doesn't mean I didn't spend those seasons dedicated to that sport. So when it was volleyball season, and that's what I was thinking about. That's where my dedication was for my team. You know, and all those memories you have to do those sports. You're not just, you don't get burnt out, I would say.
Well, it seems like so many kids these days are specializing in one sport or another. So if you have a son or daughter someday, it sounds like you're going to recommend that they, you know, pursue all those different sports.
Absolutely. I will never push somebody just to do one thing if they want to do more. Like I said, it makes you more well-rounded and but I mean, the game of basketball is growing and kids are becoming more and more skilled by doing that. I just think the payoff is a little better doing more sports.
It also seems like basketball players and players in other sports as well are committing earlier and earlier these days. Do you remember exactly when it was that you committed to Oklahoma during your high school career? Was it your senior year?
Yeah, it's actually going into my senior year, or maybe at the end of my junior year, I committed, the end of season, my junior season, and that seemed early. I mean, people talked about that being an early commit. You know, it's crazy. I don't know my feelings on it completely yet, but I just think the biggest thing is when you hit freshman year and so many people are committing as freshmen, I think when you become a freshman, that's where you develop your game. That's where you find your identity as a basketball player. So to be worrying about all those other things, I don't know if I'm a huge fan of it. And I think they're actually, the NCAA is starting to step in and create rules that you can't offer a kid until their junior year, which I think will help kids in the process.
Yeah, I can't imagine being a freshman in high school and trying to figure out, you know, where you're going to go to college in 3 years. That just seems crazy.
Right. It seemed like I couldn't even figure out what my schedule was in 2 days, much less where I want to spend 4 years of my college career.
Well, I know you fell in love with Norman, you know, after visiting there a couple of times. And I forget how many offers you had, you know, coming out of high school. Was there any other schools that you even, you know, strongly considered at that point?
I'd always said I wanted to play in the Big 12, so I was talking to all the Big 12 schools. I had offers from all of them except for Baylor. But, you know, there was something about Oklahoma. I loved the culture. I loved how they were going to use me in their system. I was recruited as a point guard. That's why I wanted to play, whereas a lot of teams didn't see me as that. So that's what drew me to Oklahoma versus the other Big 12 schools.
Oh, okay. Well, you obviously grew up as an Iowa State fan. I know you went to a lot of their games. You know, did they pursue you pretty hard?
Yeah, they did. And, you know, I love them. I love their program. My game didn't necessarily fit with the style that they play. Coming out of high school, I didn't shoot very well. I think it's something I developed when I got hurt. But no, I have so much respect for the Finleys and their program. I think it's awesome.
Well, unfortunately, your college career got off to a slow start. You know, you played in 6 games your freshman year before you suffered an ACL tear, and then you came back the next year only to tear your other ACL in a preseason scrimmage. How tough was it for you to come back that second time?
It was so tough. That second time was heartbreaking. I mean, that first time you look at it as an opportunity. You know, I had just started starting. So I had my feet wet. Then I could sit back, watch a year, you know, maybe come out and be even better the next year. The second one that I went down with, you know, you just don't know. You don't know. You see all these players, even at the NBA level, do it twice and they're done. They can't come back for it. But it was a daily grind and it was a daily thing. And once you look at it in that way, I mean, you look up and the time has passed and you're back on the court.
Well, of course, you went on to have a great career at Oklahoma. You earned all Big 12 honorable mention honors twice. You finished your career 21st all time at the school with over 1,200 points. Now, a year ago, you were granted that 6-year of eligibility so that you were able to come back again. But it wasn't necessarily a slam dunk that you were going to come back. You thought pretty hard about not coming back, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, all my friends, or not all my friends, but the class I came in with, the class I started, or started my career with, I guess we could say, they were all leaving. I was done with school. I had nothing to do left in school. I didn't have any more school goals. So it was a tough decision. I mean, it really came down to, do I think I could grow at the University of Oklahoma still? And when I thought about that, there was no doubt that I would grow under Sherry Cole and learn the game. And, you know, that's especially when I was thinking about going into coaching right after that 6 year. So I grew a lot during that.
When you guys had an awfully young team this last year, I mean, did you feel like you're kind of like an older sister to some of these girls?
Right, and I think that was the tough part. I mean, you had to catch those girls, or the fun part, not the tough and fun, we'll say, but that was a awesome experience, especially for somebody that wants to coach eventually. You had to catch them up. They knew from the second they stepped on campus that they were going to be or have high responsibility for us to be successful, so it was our job to catch them up to speed right away.
Well, I know you guys had kind of an up-and-down year, but one of the highlights for you was scoring your 1,000th career point, and that came in a game at Ames. So that was a pretty cool moment for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Really ironic that it came in Ames. I just think sometimes stuff just lines up for you. It was awesome for all my family to be there. We actually had a wedding that night, so they were double-dipping that day. But, yeah, for that to happen in Ames, that's just incredible.
Well, then you guys had to sweat out the NCAA tournament selection show. You guys were trying to get, I think, like your 19th NCAA tournament berth in a row, but it came down to you guys were among 8 teams, I think, for those final 4 berths. Was that kind of nerve-wracking, waiting to see if you'd get in or not?
Yeah, I could not breathe. You know, the 2 weeks that we had to wait 2 weeks from our Big 12 because we got out of the Big 12 tournament early. I felt pretty confident when they released those 8 teams just because I got online and looked at everything. But the day of, I could not breathe the whole day. I mean, you could tell we had practice that day and you could tell everybody was just so nervous. And, you know, it's hard when you leave your fate into the hands of other people. You don't know what they look at. Like I said, I looked online and I thought we did enough to make the NCAA tournament, but you don't know what they're looking at in that room. So that was a tough day.
Well, if you hadn't made it, that would have been a tough pill to swallow to be the team that, you know, ended that long streak, right?
Exactly. Especially coming back for a 6-year and then doing that would have been heartbreaking.
Now, you obviously played there at Oklahoma for a long time. Who would you say was the best player that you played against during your career?
Oh, goodness. I played against so many talented people. Because
you missed Brittany Griner by 1 year, right?
Yeah. Well, she was there the year I got hurt, my first freshman year, or my first ACL freshman year. So I would have got to play Brittany Griner. She would definitely would have been it. Man, I'd say there's a lot of talented people from Baylor that I played, though. And it's a different type of talent. They play with two bigs. So I actually ended up playing the four at Oklahoma, and I had to guard 6'5", 6'6", when we played against the Baylor. So those are probably the toughest matchups for me.
Well, you talk about playing kids of that size. Of course, when you were in high school, you were able to use your length and athleticism. You know, you could pretty much get a shot off whenever you wanted. Playing at that level, did it take you a while to adjust, to learn how to get a shot off against girls of that size?
Yeah, I would say definitely did. I mean, it takes a... The thing was, it was more on the defensive end where it was tough for me. But the thing is that they're used to playing down low. So we tried to use that to our advantage and kind of get them pulled out a little bit so I could get to the rim or make things happen. But I mean, the game overall, just in the Big 12, it's so athletic, and you got to work for everything you want. And that was a big adjustment.
Now, of course, last year you guys got a chance to play Connecticut out in Connecticut too, right? That'd be a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, that was incredible. It was awesome to just play the best of the best. I mean, they have an established program of excellence, and we got to play against it and see where that bar is set. I think it's huge for our younger girls, especially that did have high roles in that game, to see that, and hopefully, you know, that's a standard they're working for. Once you get on the court with it, it's completely different. And then watching Gino, he actually won his 1,000th game that game, so watching him coach and everything was pretty incredible.
Now I want to ask you about a little bit about your level of fame there in Norman. Of course, you spent 6 years there, and walking around campus, of course, I'm sure you're not like Baker Mayfield or Trae Young at that level, but how often would you get recognized by just, you know, students that you didn't really know?
I mean, it wasn't anything over the top, just because they are used to seeing Baker Mayfield or Trae Young walking around campus. And I'd say even for them, you know, there's this atmosphere of excellence among the OU athletic community, because there are so many excellent sports teams. There are teams competing for national championships, and the student body knows that and embraces that. So they let you be on a regular daily basis, but more so when you go to Walmart or you go out and get groceries from somewhere, then you're taking pictures with kids in the community, which is fun. I mean, that's how you want it to be. That's fun.
Well, I know your old high school buddy Ross Larson was down there as well. Is that kind of cool to run into somebody from Ankeny every once in a while?
Absolutely. That was really good for both of us our freshman year too, because we lived in dorms right by each other. So when we needed a little Ankeny spirit or something going on, then we'd hook up and drive home together, hang out. So it was really good for us, especially that freshman year.
Now, I know you've worn number 23 throughout your career because you grew up as a huge Michael Jordan fan. Did you ever get a chance to see him play in person?
I never did. My brother's got to go on a trip to see him play, and I'm still bitter about it. I still talk to my mom about it often. She thought I was too young and wouldn't remember it, but yeah, I never got to see him play in person.
The only time I ever saw him play was at an exhibition game in Des Moines. Probably, you know, not too many people saw that game, but
oh my goodness.
that was kind of fun way back in the day. So, well, in this last year, there was, you know, a big debate between the Michael Jordan versus LeBron James thing, and maybe that's kind of a tired debate, but as a big Michael Jordan fan, where do you stand on that issue? Do you feel like it should even be a debate, or what do you think?
I think it's Michael Jordan from a basketball standpoint. I just think his skill level is incredible. If you play them in one-on-one, I'm not sure who would win. LeBron James's athletic ability is just, and his physique is just unbelievable. It's unheard of. So if they play a game one-on-one, I don't know who to pick, but overall basketball player, Michael Jordan.
Do you think if LeBron plays another 5 to 7 years and goes way past some of these records, maybe wins a couple more titles, do you think, you know, maybe that put him in that same stratosphere? Or?
Yeah. You know, it's so crazy about LeBron James is he's incredible. I mean, he's a legend in the making, and we're all watching it, but for some reason he's like one of the most hated basketball players, and I don't understand it, because I find myself doing the same thing. Like, I don't know why people tear him down so much, but I think it will take him getting to the same amount of rings for people to recognize his greatness, which is kind of sad, because we are literally watching greatness in front of our eyes. But I don't know, I think he's incredible.
Yeah, I've never understood the hate for LeBron either. That's just crazy. Yeah. All the things that he can do on the court, it's just unbelievable. But, well, speaking of NBA players, I know I've seen you in a photo before with Blake Griffin. So you've had a chance to meet him, maybe a chance to talk to him a little bit? Or
yeah, I actually have become okay friends with Blake Griffin. I would say acquaintances probably, but I've worked at a couple of his fundraisers and seen him around at OU just randomly. So yeah, if we walked by each other on the street, we'd know each other.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, he's obviously had a few injuries in his career. Have you guys compared, some of your injury notes?
Not too much. Yeah, it's a sensitive subject with him, probably more than me.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, and being in Norman, you're not too far from Oklahoma City. Are you an OKC basketball fan?
Absolutely. I'm a loyal OKC fan now.
Well, it's kind of crazy to think about the fact that at one time they had, KD, Russ, and Harden on the same team. I mean, how did they not make that work?
Yeah, that's incredible. I don't know. We really dropped the ball there. It's tough. It's a heartbreaker for OKC fans.
Well, I see it's tough for you. Well, they were able to keep a Paul George. I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Having Paul George and Russell Westbrook back for a second year, I think, is going to be huge. It's going to be really fun for that city. I really think so.
Yeah, I don't know how the fit would have been basketball-wise, but I would have been interested to see if LeBron went to OKC, how him and Russ could have, I think they could have done some damage. But
definitely would have been the most athletic team in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, Maddie, we're going to cut you loose here. Appreciate you coming in. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot, Maddie.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, well, now we're back with another agent from Iowa Realty. This is Dave Mercer. Dave, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you bet.
Now, when you manage for a client, what exactly do you do?
Well, the first thing we do is get an understanding from the client of why they bought the property and what they're looking to achieve out of that property. And then from there, we have to agree on terms, of course, leasing commissions, and get a contract in place, signed. And then we do the day-to-day management that is required with a property.
And what does that day-to-day management entail?
Well, first and foremost, you have to take care of the tenants, and tenants have issues, and you want to keep them happy, because without tenants, there's not going to be much return on a property that one of the clients have invested in. So we take care of those first and foremost. And then if there happens to be a vacancy, we market those and show those to try to get the property filled back up. And then it's all about managing expenses. Anything a person would do in running a business, that's the things we do with a commercial property that we manage.
All right. Now, why would a client manage for themselves? Is that something they can do?
They can, and sometimes they do with smaller properties or land, but it's really not recommended for properties other than single tenant. If it's a small single tenant, then yeah, they can. But the problem happens when someone tries to self-manage with a larger property that has multi-tenants is you've got all sorts of different leases that have different languages about who pays what, and especially at the end of the year, how the payments come back to either the landlord or to the tenant. So there's just a lot of moving parts and a lot to understand. So yeah, we don't recommend it.
All right. Now, what services do you provide for your clients?
Well, every month we generate a balance sheet and a profit and loss that the landlord, our client, can take a look at. And based on that, we do yearly profit and loss statements. We do cash flow statements, yearly budgets. We keep up rent rolls. And a lot of this information we have to send to banks on behalf of the client, because they've borrowed money against that property. And the bank is always looking and wants to know if the property's in good standing and how it's cash flowing. But most importantly, at the end of the year, we do end of year reconciliations with the tenants. And that is quite a big process, along with budgeting, because you're taking all the year's expenses, putting them in together, finding out how much the tenant paid, and then there's an offset one way or another.
All right. Now, what's your main goal in managing for a client?
It comes down to cash flow. Every property is different, and every client is different, but they're all pretty much interested in one thing, and that's the cash flow of the property. So we do everything we can to try to keep the cash flow and keep that property running.
All right, Dave. Well, thanks for coming in, and thanks for the information.
My pleasure.